If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to give you a moment to look that up. Not always familiar with Ezekiel. It's very easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Ezekiel. There it is, right there. This is Ezekiel chapter 37, reading verses 1 to 14. And hear now the word of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you so that you shall live. And you shall know that I am Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are indeed cut off. And therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. May God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, it's funny, the things that you remember from back when you were a child, things that will come up. And as I was reading this and studying it, I remembered a situation that when I was a child, about 6 or 7 years old, and I remember at that time, I was really frightened by skeletons. I don't know if any of you have gone through this, but always at Halloween, they would have skeletons around and everything. And I believe that I saw a TV show that had these dancing skeletons. And for some reason, it really frightened me. And while they were doing it, they were singing that song, Dem Bones, Dem Bones, Dem Dry Bones. And I've never forgotten that because it made a real impact on me. I still don't like skeletons to this day. But anyway, as many of you know, that song, Dem Bones, came from a Negro spiritual. And it came out of the text that we're looking at this morning. And probably all of us have heard this before about this valley of the dry bones. You know, this is a very strange passage that comes out of the book of Ezekiel. And I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Ezekiel, but it's worth reading, just going in there and just reading it and seeing the things that Ezekiel was told to do. It's obvious Ezekiel did not have an easy life. You know, he was told by the Lord to do things that were very unusual, very strange. You know, God sent Ezekiel to Israel to warn them and that they needed to return to him. And Ezekiel was also told at that time that if you do this, I will not hold you responsible for these individuals that are rebelling against me. He said, I'm sending you to a house that's very rebellious, but if you proclaim my word to them, then you're released from any guilt. It's very interesting. It's something that I think every pastor today should read and should pay attention to. I'm going to read that to you where he says that. This is found in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And it just says this, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for my house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. What he's saying here basically is that tell the people what I'm telling you, and you're held responsible for that. The truth is, that's never changed. That every pastor that's out there, every person that's in a position of authority within the church has the responsibility and the obligation before God to proclaim what it is that God says. And the truth is, Jesus is the Lord of the church. He's the only one that can say what's right and what's wrong within the church. And when we go off on our own because of society or because of our government or because of anything else to proclaim things that are not found in Scripture, we're held accountable for it. That's going to be a very difficult time on that day of judgment when people stand before the Lord and the Lord said, no, depart from me, I never knew you. We see Ezekiel had this responsibility before God. And in that, God warned them that he was sending them to a people, and this is in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and I'm not going to read it, but in this passage, Ezekiel 2, 4 and 5, he says, I'm sending you to a people who are rebellious. I'm sending you to a people who are impudent and who are stubborn, who are stiff-necked. I'm sending you to those people, but I'm sending you with a message that you have to give them. Didn't exactly make Ezekiel the most favorite person to have at dinner, because he would lay it on the line. This is what the Lord God has said. And it was difficult for them. And we can see that in the book of Ezekiel, there's time after time when there's strange things that he has to proclaim. Most of you are familiar with the wheel in a wheel. Well, that was right in the beginning of the book of Ezekiel. Many different visions and things that he had, but there's one in particular, and it's the one we're looking at today, which is not described as a vision. It's something that's described as actually happening. And that's hard for us to understand. Look at what he says in verse 37. This is Ezekiel 37, I'm sorry, verse 1. And it says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Now, we see times in Scripture when God will transport people, and they'll be in a certain place, and all of a sudden, there'll be something else. This happened with Philip, when Philip was out, and he witnessed to on the road to that person in the chariot. And all of a sudden, he was in another place, in another area. This happens from time to time. But we're seeing here in Ezekiel that God places Ezekiel down in a valley that was filled with dry bones. And what God is dealing with here is giving Ezekiel a representation of what Israel is really like inside, what their hearts are like, what their lives are like. And God's heart was for his people. He didn't want Israel to be destroyed. He had a purpose and a plan for Israel, and he was unfolding that purpose and plan. But Israel was rebelling against him. They would not listen to the Lord God. So God had to send Ezekiel, give him this experience that's written here in our passage for this morning. He wanted Ezekiel to intervene in the life of Israel at just the right moment so he could call them by his side. And of course, we know that here's a situation where God puts him into this valley of dry bones. And actually, it's also called sometimes a valley of death. And it was possibly the site of some ancient battle, a terrible battle where many, many men lost their lives. And at that time, they were just allowed to lay there until their bodies wasted away, and the only thing that was left were bones. The old dry bones, as it says in verse 2, he says, "And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry." They were very dry. And then the Lord asked Ezekiel a question. And he says this. This is in verse 3. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" You know, it's kind of a trick question. Because if Ezekiel said, there's no way that these dry bones can live. And yet he knew, with God all things are possible. And so his response was the right one. And that is, well, you know. I don't know. If you ask me, I'd have to say from a human standpoint, no. It's over. They can never come back to life. But he said, well, Lord, you know. God, you know. And basically what he was saying was, unless you do it, there's no possibility. This will never happen. It'll not happen. So then God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones. Now, you know, today in our culture, we take that word prophecy or prophetic to mean something in the future. That when you prophesy about something, it would be something in the future. The truth is, the word for prophesy has always meant to proclaim. It means to proclaim God's word. In that sense, pastors and Sunday school teachers and others in the church are prophetic in what they're doing. They're proclaiming the word of God. It can be the future, as we see the prophets in the Old Testament. There are times when they would prophesy things from the future, but more often they proclaimed the heart of God and the word of God. And what God was telling Ezekiel was, prophesy to these bones, proclaim to these bones, preach to these bones. And Ezekiel did just that. Said, prophesy. And what did he say? Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God commands. And God said that if you'll prophesy, breath will come in to these bones. Now, the word for breath, both in Hebrew and also in Greek, there are two words that we translate. One is this word, one is breath and the other is spirit. In Greek, it's the word pneumos. And in Hebrew, it has a different word that actually contains both of those meanings. It can either be breath or it can be spirit. Some of you remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when it talks about and the world was formless and void. And the breath of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, moved across the lands. It's the same word that's used here. The breath of God and the spirit of God in Scripture are the same word. And so we can see that as Ezekiel began to prophesy, he began to preach to these bones, things began to happen. He said, say to them, hear the word of the Lord. And then he said he would cause his breath to enter them, his spirit to enter them. And what happened was, all of a sudden, the bones began to come together. There was a loud noise, and all of these dry bones began to come back together again. And this is where the song, Dem Bones, comes from. And you're familiar with it, I know. This is the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone connected to the hip bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. And that's where, as a Negro spiritual, that's where this song came from. Because as Ezekiel was proclaiming what God told him to say, the bones responded and they came together. And we read in scripture here that as they came together, it said that they became a mighty army, and yet they had no life in them. And God said, now, prophesy to the breath, prophesy to the spirit. And Ezekiel did. He prophesied to the spirit, and immediately God's spirit went into them and turned these dry bones into living beings. They came alive again. And they became a mighty army. You know, the truth is, when we read of God's Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people, we see that exactly the same thing happens. This is in John chapter 6 and verse 63. And Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and their life. When God's Spirit comes into people, it brings life to them. It brings them back to life. And God was making an application to his people, first of all, to Israel, because Israel had died spiritually. They were counting on their deeds, their acts, their ability to keep the law as being their means of salvation, and as a result, they died inside. Even Jesus said that when he looked at the Pharisees and he said, you're whitewashed sepulchers filled with dead men's bones. Talked about the fact that they were dead inside. And look what we see in verse 11 here. This is Ezekiel 37, verse 11. And he said, and then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. And our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. And they were describing their spiritual situation at that point, that all of their desires to keep the law, all of their religious activities were all falling apart. In Isaiah chapter 1, we read where God Almighty said to Israel, your multiplied sacrifices are an abomination to me. I don't want them anymore. Because there was no life in them. It was just ritual. So there wasn't any life. And they were saying our bones are dry. And because of that, our hope is lost. And apart from God's intervention in the life of Israel, they had no hope. But this is the state of God's people, past, present, and future. And that is that when we turn away from God, when we turn away from God as a church, as individuals, when we turn away from God as a nation, things turn dry. They begin to die. They begin to wither until there's nothing left. It's interesting that when we talk about the valley of the dry bones, the word there for valley also has symbolism attached to it. The valley was always symbolic of darkness, of depression. Think about the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley always had to do with a low point in people's spiritual lives. And this valley of dry bones was a time when the people of God were so devoid of God's heart and of God's spirit that they were just drying out and dying. See, we're told in scripture that apart from God and apart from his spirit, that we have no peace. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21 says this. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And really, the word there for wicked simply means those who are apart from God. It doesn't mean Hitler or somebody who does terrible things. It's talking about those people that have no relationship with God. He said they have no peace. You know, how often today we have celebrities who are paraded before us as if they have their act together. Everything is wonderful. Why, this person is selling huge amounts of records, making millions of dollars. And, you know, and yet, when you peel back the layers, you find out they are desperate people. They have no peace. And you see, these dry bones that are being spoken of here represent those who have chosen to ignore God in their lives, to go their own way. God said that Israel was rebellious and they would not listen to him. They would not follow after him. And the result of that was spiritual death. Now, again, we can point fingers at Israel and say, well, my goodness, God was so real and so alive to them back then. Why didn't they believe? But the finger comes right back to us, and that is why don't we believe? The Apostle Paul said this. This is in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and he said this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were dry bones. You had nothing. And I would venture to say that there are people here this morning that can remember a time when they had not walked with the Lord and what their lives were like. And they know that they were dead to spiritual issues, to spiritual matters. And it took something to wake them up, to bring them out of that deep sleep that they were in and give them life. Ephesians 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's that play between the death and life. And we know that our participation with the world and our participation with evil does nothing but bring death. And death is something that's celebrated in our culture right now. Instead of life, people would choose death over life. It leads to spiritual death. And we also know that our only hope in any of this, our only hope is in the Lord. You know, somebody can walk into a graveyard and say, the first person up, I'm going to give $1 million to them. And he could stand there forever screaming that. Nobody's going to get up because they're dead. Something has to happen before a person can respond to God's call. And that something is the very same thing that happened to those dry bones in that valley. And that is the Spirit of God has to move across them, touch their hearts, and wake them up spiritually. I really enjoy watching the Lord of the Rings. I don't know if any of you do, but especially I was enthralled with the first one. You know, we've read the books by Tolkien and everything else, but there's a character in there by the name of King Theoden. Theoden, some of you may remember him. And he came under the influence of a prime minister called Wormtongue. And Wormtongue had him so convinced of certain things that it was like a veil fell across his face. And his eyes were glazed over and he couldn't hear and he couldn't understand. And he was just going through life allowing this other person to make all of his decisions, and he didn't care. And you see, that's really the picture that we have in Scripture of a person who's dead in their trespasses and sins. It wasn't until somebody came in and woke him up from that sleep that began to see life for what it really was and began to take charge again and return to his position as king. And this is what it takes for us as believers. God's Spirit has to come and touch our hearts and wake us up. You know, we're constantly tempted all week long to forsake God. All of us. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. If I do, I'm pointing them at myself. We're constantly tempted to walk away from him and do our own thing. The pull of this world is terrible. Everything that we watch, everything that we see, it pushes us away from our faith and our trust in the Lord. Have to ask ourselves, how many minutes a week do we actually spend thinking about God? How many minutes a week do we actually spend thinking about where we're going to spend eternity? Somebody said we spend more time planning our vacation than planning eternity, where we're going to spend our eternal lives. We're being subjected constantly to this pull away from God. We sing a song that says, prone to leave you, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Sin, come thou fount of every blessing. And it's the truth. Constantly threatened with that. But God promises that in this process, we're not alone, that he will send his Spirit, and his Spirit will touch our hearts, and it'll quicken us and wake us up. He promises to breathe life into us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light. So walk as children of light." Big change is happening. You know, the sad thing is that at a time in the history of this country when the church needs to be its strongest, we are the weakest. At a time when we need to be able to stand on God's word, stand on the truth to defend ourselves against what's coming, we're not able to. And we need the breath of God, just like Israel did. Because as a church, as a nation, we're dry bones before the Lord. You know, God in his mercy, at times of great need in the life of the United States of America, God has gifted our nation with great times of refreshing. Back in the middle 1700s, we had what was called the Great Awakening. And that was a time of spiritual prominence in this country. People like George Whitefield and John Wesley and others that came and preached, and there would be tens of thousands of people that would gather just to hear the word of God. We know about Jonathan Edwards and the effect that he had in New England. God was blessing these people with a great revival, and what that was God's Spirit moving across this country and waking people up to the truth. In the mid-1800s, we had the Great American Revival. Almost the same thing happening with different cast of players, and yet the same result. And that was that God was quickening the hearts. And everybody thought somehow in the mid-1900s we would see it again. And that was a time when Billy Graham was coming into prominence. And there was great excitement and enthusiasm, but it never went coast to coast. It didn't have the same impact. And little by little, people have fallen away. I have to tell you, if the people here in Asheville knew what they were going to be facing, this church would be full. Every church that preaches the word of God would be full. But we don't know. People are asleep. And the truth is, we must come alive. We have to come to the Lord and depend on him and stand on our feet the way that mighty army did and call on the Lord to open up our hearts and our minds and our strength. You know, there was a story. I was intrigued by this, and it goes back to Civil War times. In Civil War times, there was in Kennesaw Mountain. Some of you are familiar with Civil War battles and whatever. This is Kennesaw Mountain. There was a 20-year-old Union captain who was mortally wounded in battle. He was hit with shrapnel, and it actually opened up his whole chest area. And when the medics came around, they looked at him and they said, he'll never make it. And so they went on to help other people that they felt they could rescue. And this individual laid there all night. He wasn't dead. He laid there all night thinking that he was probably going to die at any moment. He had a chance to reflect on his life. He'd been a rebel. He'd flaunted God's word, even though he had Christian parents who were very devout and they were praying for him every day. This individual rebelled against God and went the way of the world. And now he was lying on a battlefield with his chest blown open, close to death. And he began to think about his life and what his life was all about. Well, the next morning, as the crew came by to retrieve the dead bodies, they found out that he was still alive and they rushed him to the hospital. And the first thing he did when they took him to the hospital was to ask for a chaplain. And the chaplain came in and he confessed to the chaplain his lifestyle and asked the chaplain to lead him to Christ. And the chaplain did. Now this man ended up healing. He healed. And after he healed, he had a message to give, to talk to people. See, because he had been dry bones. He had been dead. And through that experience, God woke him up and gave him new life, gave him new energy. He ended up going to seminary. He ended up becoming a pastor. He was ordained. In fact, he pastored some of the largest churches in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. And while he was there, he started a school for young pastors, which ultimately became Temple University in Philadelphia. He wrote over 20 books, most of them encouraging people to live for the Lord, to surrender to him. See, here's a person who was dry bones, and God's Spirit came and woke him up, totally changed him. His name was Russell Herman Conwell. And he would say, once I was dead, now I'm alive because of God's Spirit. He was brought back to life. Reminds me of a story of a young man who was running from God and was in a hotel room up about the 10th or 12th floor in this large hotel. And he was looking out the window and he was seeing mountains with the moon shining down on the mountains. And it made him start thinking about God. And he said, you know, if there is a God, I'm in big trouble because I've never lived for him. And as he looked out the window, he thought, you know, it'd be so easy just to slip out this window and end it all. And he felt like, you know, rather than throwing my life away, why don't I give it away? And so he asked God, Lord, if there's anything in this life that you can take and use for your glory, please do it. Because other than that, I'm worthless. And God answered his prayer. And God established him and gave him a new heart, gave him new life. And I know sometimes you wonder, well, how do you really know all that? I know, because that man was me. We call on the Lord to wake us up, to revive us, to take the broken pieces and put them back together again. We know that Jesus is our Savior. He not only saves us from sin, but he puts the broken pieces back together again. Praise the Lord for that. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that even though we have walked through dry times, and Lord, some of us have been in that valley of dry bones, that apart from you, we would have no hope at all. And yet by your mercy and grace, you've given us new life. Father, I pray that that could be the testimony of every person that's here today. That, Lord, if they know that they're apart from you, if they know that their lives are turned upside down, if they know that there's nothing left to live for in this world, Father, I pray that you would call them to yourself, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to breathe new life into their hearts and into their souls and cause them to stand up, that we might be a mighty army proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ in these last days. And we thank you and praise you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
If you would, please stand and turn to number 58. 58, He leadeth me, He leadeth me.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.